From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Almost, but not quite. Knicks fall to the Milwaukee Bucks at home. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum postgame versus the Bucks. Knicks lose. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found, of course, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. A lot of sports going on, of course. Other sport, Blue Shirts win. You can check out Tuesdays with the Rain Podcast with Ranger Proud. We talked about that. As far as the Rangers get on the right track, we got the Big Blue Football Squad with Chris and the gang on the Big Blue Roundtable on Thursdays and after every Giant game. But Wednesdays, it's the Cathedral. It's church. It's the Knicks. It's orange and blue skies over here, man. Knicks lose. But listen, I'm not even mad. Okay, you want to win every game, right? This is you're going to hear me say something fucking crazy right now before I bring the guys on, bring on live. I'm not going to say it. I was going to say something reckless. But I'm not too far on the thought process. You want to win games. But tonight was the pace the Knicks should be at based on their roster and talent. And even in the loss versus a team that could quite possibly win the NBA championship in the Milwaukee Bucks, the Knicks played exactly the type of game I kind of expect them as far as pace tonight. I'd rather have them play like this than how they won in Detroit on Monday, if that makes sense. Yeah, the Knicks scored 140 points against a pathetic defensive team in the Detroit Pistons, right? But come on, that's not the Knicks. If you know basketball, right, you know what the Knicks did in Motown on Monday versus the Detroit Pistons scoring 140. That is not the Knicks. That's just not. For an 82-game schedule, that's just not them. Tonight is more what we expect, or I expect, out of the Knicks as far as pace. And this game was winnable. They did everything possibly could to be in this game and set themselves up for the win. I'm not mad. Listen, you got to hit your free throws, Jalen Brunson. You've been knocking them at a 90% clip all year. But listen, that shot by Grayson Allen, what a fuck. I mean, listen, RJ went under the screen. You know, man, I'm the type of guy when I was playing, you go over the screen. Fuck that under the screen shit. But hey, great shot by Grayson Allen. And RJ took an eagle three-pointer, come right back down. RJ's not shooting well from the three up until this point this year. But remember, he got hot as the year went on. He wanted to retaliate versus a guy who they both went to Duke, and he missed that three, and is what it is. They got Giannis to get the six fouls. Knickerbocker Ave, our source for the streets for the Knicks, will bring them on. We'll bring on Mr. Live. We'll bring on Coach Chris. Say hello to the people real quick. Just hello, because, listen, I'm not mad, dude. I don't know how you feel, but I'm not mad as far as tonight. Then we'll get the guys on. I'll let you fire away.
I'm not happy. Let's just put it like that. Go ahead.
Oh, shit. All right, cool. Mr. Lai, what's up, man? How you doing, man?
What's good, y'all? You know what I'm saying? We're gonna call this one Fire Mike Breen.
The broadcast?
Fire Mike Breen. Other than that, I'm not mad either. I'm not mad either. But Fire Mike Breen.
Let me write that down. Fire Mike Breen. I'm going to make sure we remember this one. Coach Chris, welcome back.
I'm checking the domains now.
Coach Chris, what's up, bro? How you doing, man? Good to have you, dude.
Fellas, what's good? How you been? Missed you guys.
I'll miss you too, man. We're going to get some X's and O's from you tonight, man. Even in the loss. But, before we go on, I put it in the tweet, man. Watching on the side, North Carolina versus Indiana, man, to see the two former Knicks players and one even player and a coach, and Hubert Davis and Mike Woodson go head-to-head, man. I mean, Coach Chris, you're a college basketball dude as it is, man. North Carolina, Indiana, Hubert Davis, former Knick, Mike Woodson, former Knick, as a player and a coach, man. I was just putting that to the side, you know, how great this time of year is. But, Av, I was about to be real reckless and say that, but this is the pace the Knicks need to play, in my opinion. This is them, based on their roster. What I saw in Detroit is not who they really are. And I think that could be misled if they try to continue to do that, and they're just going to burn themselves out. You said you were mad. What was those words you said, Ab? You were mad?
I'm not happy. I'm not happy.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why I'm not happy. Very simply put.
Okay, go for it.
The Knicks should have won this game.
Right.
The Knicks should have won this game. If you take into account how many miscues there were on defense just in the second and third quarters alone, and you just run that off. I mean, given Mitchell Robinson had 20 rebounds, you know, Randall was being himself, but then and Brunson kept us in the game, and RJ kept us in the game, and you know, and we got Giannis down to 6 fouls and fouling out, but and basically Holiday and the boys had to they had to beat us, but to be honest, man, I'm watching this whole game with an attitude because I'm seeing all these miscues throughout the entire game of just like blown assignments, guys not getting their hands up, guys not responding to a rebound, letting the ball drop right in front of them within 5 feet. Randall, for some reason, is allergic to freaking defense. I tweeted that out earlier, and I'm like, why can't he not keep his man in front of him for more than 2 seconds before he turns around and then he jets for the 3-point line, because that's what he was doing all games in Detroit. So he figured, you know what? I'm feeling it. I'm going to do it again. And when the shots weren't dropping, what did he do? He started going into the paint. But then he's not even being responsive, to his man. And I don't know what it is, that for some reason he feels like he doesn't have to play defense. Like all of a sudden he's like Carmelo Anthony, when he was here. But all your task to do is to score the ball and not worry about defense. Shit, even Melo played defense at least. Twice a game. I mean, where was Randall in any of that? Thank the Lord that we have Jalen Brunson to keep us in the game most of the time, because the guy's he's the only Nick on the roster that can freaking create his own shot. They can penetrate. They can stop on the dime and pop one right in your face. Everybody else is being so damn stationary. Except when the second unit comes in, and then you got guys like Rose and Quickly moving the ball at least, but then you have no shooters because obviously Brunson's on the bench, Randall's on the bench, Robinson, he's an offensive liability. Even though he had a good night tonight, 15 points, I'm not gonna knock him tonight. But come on now, I mean, can we get a little bit more cohesiveness? And to your point, Steve, what they did in Detroit, yeah, they took advantage of the fact that that they already know they own Detroit. They knew that going in. They saw Detroit on the schedule and they're like, finally a reprieve. We finally get a break from playing all these contenders, especially throughout that West Coast trip. But now you're playing a team like Milwaukee. You're going to be playing a team like Dallas. And then the schedule is just not going to ease up at any point soon. The Knicks need to kind of get it together and figure out who the hell are they? Because, I mean, we've been saying this for all season long. All season, the Knicks need to find an identity. We've been saying 20 to 25 games. Well, we're in the 20 games into this, and I still don't know who the fuck the Knicks are. Having a clue who they are. And I'm pretty sure that they don't either. And I'm sure that nobody on this line is 100% certain that they know who the Knicks are. I mean, I predicted them to be more of a less than a 500 team, and so far they're exceeding at that. But the reality is that some of these games, they shouldn't be winning these games. I mean, given stars are going to shine and they're going to make their money and make their presence feel be felt, but for Christ's sake, can somebody put a hand up? Can somebody box somebody out? Can we limit some of these second chance points? Can we stop relying so much on the three, especially from guys that haven't been consistently shooting threes? Like, I'm sorry, RJ Barrett, he's not. You already mentioned it.
Quentin Grimes, he's not a three-point shooter. I don't know who the fuck told the Nick Universe that he was. He's not. He hasn't been. And I'm sorry, you're not telling me that he is. And at this point, I miss Evan Fournier. I really do. I'm kind of missing him. Bring him back, please. I'm tagging out. Go ahead, Mr. Live.
Before we go to live, that's a good point. What is the status of Fournier, man? To be quite honest with you, I really have no clue. What's up with that?
Well, Evan Fournier is essentially he's completely out of the rotation because you know the Knicks Nation has been freaking been cramming and harping and bitching and moaning and complaining about what? Play the kids, play Grimes, play Quickly, play Toppin, play this guy, play that guy. And obviously we already know that Evan Fournier is the best 3-point shooter on this team. But he's probably one of the worst defenders on this team at the same time. So he doesn't really fit the mold right now. But in my opinion, if you're ever going to be looking at the trading deadline, now's the time to be freaking playing him because, you know, between now and February 20th, I don't know, or something around those lines, it would be the time to, you know, to kind of showcase him. So that way, teams who are interested in contending and need a shooter, they can look at the Knicks and they can start offering something better for him, other than the bullshit rumors that we're hearing about people are calling about Rose, people are calling about Quickly. No, fuck that. You know what? If you're not playing in California, why are we paying him $15 million a year anyway? Fucking get rid of him.
All right, I'll write that down. Lie. Let's go to you, Ross, and then we go to Coach Chris.
Classic Knickerbocker Ave, all right? We can clap it up for that one. That was a classic. It hit all the points, especially about Randle, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He, for me, he is the bone spur of the team. You understand what I'm saying? He plays like a small forward. And he's in RJ's way. You understand what I'm saying? Now, mind you, RJ has a whole lot of maturing to do himself. But at the same time, there's a very consistent feed of Jalen Brunson and Randle, which leaves RJ as an afterthought, as the third option. Again, he makes making all that money being the third option. So there's a problem. So, and again, it goes to the point of identity. We don't have an identity. And again, it's the reason why I don't even mess with critiquing, the Knicks before 20 games, before 20 games in the season. Because one, there's no need to. Second of all, if you would see the last 5 or 6 games, they're just starting to get a familiarity with each other, right? I mean, Brunson is his own player, and he's worth every dime that they paid him. But now there's this hierarchy that's going on, with Thibodeau and playing his, and overplaying his players the regular way, and then who and what comes on now. Now the kids, there's not, if you understand, there's not really a difference in what he's doing this year from any other year with the young kids. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, Obi Toppin played 14 minutes, can play 14 minutes, right? You know what I'm saying? Hartenstein, he played 10, right? And you know what I'm saying? And again, he it looks like, if you go on this game, he's whittling. Thibodeau is whittling it down to, a firm 8-9 cats. So, do we need the NAF? He's definitely doing that, and cats stay relatively healthy. We got to wait 7-8 more games for them to catch a rhythm between those 7 to 8 players. This is me, calling maybe it's time for a coaching change, man. I've been, since Woodson, been calling for an offensive coach. We haven't had a coach that that don't play street ball in ages. You know, it's a half Princeton around the perimeter, and whoever end up with that ball the third shot, you know what I'm saying? That's who take the shot. It's corny and it's predictable. There's no cuts. There's no specialized. I mean, there's nothing. There's no place for to use athletic. There's no consistent pick and roll between Brunson and no identity. No identity. So as much as I see them guys getting ready to get into the rhythm, you know, it may be too late. You know, and as far as we're talking about Fournier, man, listen, as soon as Fournier come in, you're going to want his ass out. You understand what I'm saying? He is horrible, all right? Granted, he will space the floor more than anybody else on the squad now, but him and Brunson on that floor at the same time would not be a good look. You know what I'm saying? I believe you guys see what they've been doing to Brunson already as far as backing his little ass down. You know what I'm saying? So we got him and Fournier out there letting everybody through on the perimeter. It'll be a much worse situation than we have now. So, they need a nice little trade or three, right? They need some of them dudes off of the bench. We need somebody solid, man. We need a shooter, man. Because as Steve said, man, that Grayson shot was a dagger. That was nasty, right? And you couldn't even. The reason why you ain't mad is because RJ was there. He played as good a defense as you was going to play on it. Because if he would have went under the screen, he'd have got caught. He'd have had even more open shot. You know, so you had to just tip your hat off in that. And again, man, they had Connaughton on the floor. They had Grayson on the floor. They had the little cat that was playing excellent D on Brunson, man. That shoot, man, them dudes shoot. I mean, Oladipo hit one from out there. So we not hitting our threes, man. And the reason why I called this one fire Mike Green, man. Mike Green, we was getting ready to tie the game with Brunson on the line, and he jinxed Brunson, man. Fire that dude, man. Get to take his contract. Let's get Gus Johnson back up in here. Paul's master, you know what I'm saying? Let's get Gus Johnson back up in the spot because Mike Green does that all the time. He did it damn near three times this game. You understand what I'm saying? So get him out of here. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never liked that dude anyway. Let's go.
That's what I'm talking about live. Whew, I can't wait till it's my turn. They go to Coach Chris. You're right, man. I mean, I like Green, but, yeah, man, we ain't winning.
I can't stand Green, son.
I'm a hard guy, man.
He get on my nerve. He is a poser. He is a national televised star. On broadcaster front like he a Knicks fan. You know what I'm saying? Get him out of here. Let him broadcast the finals in the playoffs. Get him out of here. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired of that.
Man, how many winning seasons we've had since Breen's been there? Live what? Two?
Wow, none. None.
On TV.
One or two.
You already know where I stand.
Yeah, the 54. He was here for the Carmelo joint.
Yeah,
54 win joint. Yeah, and then he was there for Randall and Bullock and Alfred Payton. Yeah,
but he was there
like two.
We lost to the Nets. We lost to the Nets like in the mid 2000s.
Oh, he was still there back then with Chris Childs.
Yeah, he was there on TV. Yeah, he had to be on TV by then.
Chris Childs and the Raptors took us out. That's bad business.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
That's bad business. Yeah. That's bad.
All right. Yo, this is going to be hilarious. Let's go to Coach Chris and get his thoughts, man. What are you seeing, Coach?
So my question, my evaluation is this, man. From the coaching perspective, it's just me analyzing. I feel like Quickley's taking a real downfall, man. He is not the same guy that used to come into the games and give us what he gave us those first 2 years. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Logic and science, when you put on muscle weight, you lose your quickness. He depended on his quickness a lot. He doesn't look as fast as he previously was. So what is he doing now to get better? How is he getting his shot off? his handle doesn't look great. It doesn't look like he can create his own shot. I'm wondering what the hell is going on with that, because I haven't seen him better than what I saw his first 2 years, especially that first year. He came on that rookie season and was, he was killing. What was he, second team all rookie or something that year?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, same thing with Toppin. I mean, we all been saying Toppin needs more time. But if he really deserved more time, he'd be getting more time. So what is he doing in practice? What is he doing that we're not seeing that the coach is like, I don't feel comfortable putting him in just yet? There's something going on behind the scenes in his practices. I would love to see what they look like because, yes, we do have a heavy dosage of Julius Randle, but that's only because I don't think he has enough trust in Toppin yet to be out there to get those minutes, because we all know for damn sure Toppin, had he earned them, he'd be out there, because we've seen this coach give minutes to dudes that were nobodies. As long as they went in there and bust their ass, they made a name for themselves. My other thing is this. All these years, we've been playing without a legit ball-handling point guard that could give up the ball. This is the first time these guys really had somebody like this. I know we had Kemba, but Kemba was really in and out of that lineup. He was so inconsistent with the injuries and everything. This is the first time we've had this type of point guard running the show. The rest of these guys haven't played with a guy like this. R.J. Barrett hasn't played with a guy like this. Julius Randle hasn't had a legit point guard since what? Lonzo Ball, maybe?
Yeah.
Like, these guys are still trying to figure out how to get going when the ball – I mean, he is a ball-dominant guard. If ball needs to be in his hands, he needs to make a decision. He's been making great decisions. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm knocking this dude at all. But the rest of these dudes don't know what they're doing when he's out there or how to play with him. They're still trying to adjust to having that guy on the floor, that leader on the floor. Because previously, we all know, we were playing half-court sets and the ball was going through Julius Randle's hands in the post, and we were trying to figure out the offense that way. Now we're running the gun, and now we got this guy. I mean, he's been making great decisions, but it's an adjustment. I think we're only, 30 games into the season? We're not going to really see who we are until about January. Now, yeah. The other thing is this. R.J. Barrett, son, what are you doing? Are you a shooting guard? Are you a point guard? Like, we need to figure some shit out here, man. Because every guard that I see, I'm seeing all these guards like Bradley Beal, C.J. McCollum, all these guys like this, they got handle. They know how to get their own shot. They're in and out, step back. It's wild because he looks like so robotic. It's almost like you can tell what he's going to do. As soon as the ball goes in his hands, you know he's going to drive left. He gets cut off. He's going to spin. He's going to come back. He pulls up, goes to his right, pulls up a jump shot. It's just enough already, man. You need to expand on your game. And somebody needs to have that conversation with him. We're not babying this dude no more. You want this big contract? You want New York to be your team? Like you've been saying all this stuff. And I had concerns about this, and I tried to give him a chance. Coming out of high school, he was that number one player. Coming into the draft, he was the number three player. Like, there's no reason. We all understand Zion is a different type of dude. But you came in there with a different skill set. You are ahead of him. And it just doesn't seem that from that National Player of the Year to now, we haven't seen a lot of growth in what he's done. And you wanted your man here. We brought your man here. He comes in, we make that trade with Atlanta. He got a new jersey number, new year. He's going to do all this crazy stuff. Cam Reddish is playing pretty well. Not well enough, though. But you wanted him here. You two guys are back together. You can go out clubbing and have dinner together every night. But you know what? You need to figure some shit out about what we're doing on this court. This is not college, man. This is not college. Like, this is NBA. We're paying a lot of money to be at these games to watch the two of you guys be stepbrothers. Like, we don't need that. So my thing is this. Coach, he may not say it in out in public, but he doesn't have the confidence in these dudes, and it's not even his fault, because these dudes you're at a point in your life where you need to figure some shit out on your own. Everybody got their own personal trainers. Everybody got their excuse me, they work our YouTube videos. You got to expand on your game because this is getting enough. I'm not putting the blame on nobody else. You guys are in the early points of your prime years of your career. Get it together, man. That's all I got to say.
Man, shout outs to Coach Chris. Listen, when I look at this game, guys, and I go back to the other games earlier this year, Oklahoma City at home and Monday in Detroit, because somebody brought up, I think it was you, Lyle, we don't have no identity. You're absolutely correct, but I think our identity should be closer to what we saw tonight as far as slowing the game down versus the top defensive team, one of the top defensive teams in the league. I mean, let's be honest, like Milwaukee's probably going to be at worst if nobody's like significant injury, Eastern Conference Finals, probably with Boston, I believe. You know what I'm saying? If you know, nobody gets hurt on either of those teams, those are the best two teams in the East. So it should be those two. And the Knicks, like, that's the second time this year the Knicks have played Milwaukee pretty well. It got out of the hand in Milwaukee when we went there on that Friday, like, right before Halloween. And we were nip and tuck with them, but they put the clamps on us on their home court, and we just could never recover. That's just what they are. That's their identity. They have – you know, Drew, listen, they have a very good veteran team, man. I know they're older in age, above the average NBA age. Drew Holiday is such an underrated player. I know you've heard Dom rave about Drew Holiday for years, even his days with the Sixers. Drew Holiday is a fantastic basketball player, man. You saw what he did in the finals a couple of years ago. And I hate, you know, I know Av's not trying to hear what I'm trying to, you know, give this moral laws bullshit, right? But the point I'm trying to say is the Knicks need to play more of this way going forward than what they're trying to outscore all these other teams sloppy with the basketball, like in Oklahoma City. You know what I'm saying? Oklahoma City game, the first one at home, or Detroit even last night, because Detroit can't play no defense. They were right there. I'm with you. If they would have made those free throws or make their free throws, we probably win this game. And it probably – who knows where it goes after that as far as rest of the season. You're right, Live. Mike Breen, you know, he's always good with those jinxes, man. And it kills me, man. You're absolutely correct about that. I mean, I'm a Marv guy, so I'm kind of biased when I say that. I've said this for years on this show. But, yo, Coach Chris and Live and Av, like Jalen Brunson – and this is another thing I was thinking about, too. I don't know how much of a beating he's going to be able to take. I mean, he was never really getting beat up like this at Villanova from what I can remember, Coach Chris. Those years when he was with Bridges and his Archiano. I don't remember him getting a beating like Archiano, yeah. I don't remember him getting a beating like this, even with Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's getting killed. Like, he, you know, going in the lane and guys are falling over him. I'm actually getting a little bit worried with that. You know, I'm not, you know, Av, I know you're really, you know, with the rumor mill. I don't really follow that per se until it actually happens. And the Fournier thing of him out of the rotation was crazy because didn't he just break the record for threes? I thought the Knicks wanted to shoot more threes, shoot it with your better players. It does make me cringe that right now RJ's kind of regressed back to old RJ with the three-point shot. But let me say this. Let me put a little bit of a positive note. I love what Randle did in the Detroit game with his, you know, him attacking the way they did. I know it's Detroit, but Randle, I'm not as anti-Randle like most Knicks fans. I just think offensively, I think we're all in agreement. They just don't have – I don't know. Ever since the Kentucky coaches has left and Mike Woodson has left, offensively, it was a struggle to begin with. It's like nights like this, you kind of miss Alec Burks coming off the bench and giving you a little of a spurt. Mm-hmm. You miss a little bit of old Derrick Rose. Because Derrick Rose is definitely not the same guy. But Derrick Rose does make plays. He gives you open shots, though. He'll still do that. We just got to knock him down. And we could go back to you. Identity, I just want to keep the pace where it is because I just don't believe this pace of trying to outscore teams. That's just not us. Like, because I just don't think we have the players. And I heard Coach Chris, bring up Reddish. And that's, remember, we talked about this all season because Reddish had that one big game opening night. And then he'll, like we've been said, he's going to disappear. Like, that's just not Cam Reddish, you know? Just too inconsistent. Who, arguably, when he's, his head is in the game, is probably the more gifted natural scorer arguably on the team because of his length, his wingspan. Like, he could have it all, but he doesn't have the coaching to get to that development. Or even the mindset. Sometimes it's got to be on the player, Ab, but you can go back to your thoughts on, you know, this loss, or even the game versus Detroit, previous games before that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I will say this on the Cam Reddish thing. Cam Reddish has one of the most explosive first steps on this team, besides Jalen Brunson. So the fact that, you know, he had such a great, you know, great start to the season after, you know, we all destroyed him in the preseason, and, you know, we basically threw him under our dumpster and lit it on fire, and then he, you know, he kind of shut us up, but now he's kind of regressed. I kind of just, you know, go back to what Live and Coach Chris was just saying. You know, there is no trust with some of these young guys because they're just too erratic and too inconsistent. And it goes back to, for me, like, why don't you just play 48? I mean, you don't have to play in fucking 25 minutes. You can play in 10. You can play in 5. He can score. I would play him with Derrick Rose and Emmanuel quickly, because at least now you have two ball handlers and you got two shooters plus Derrick Rose who can still penetrate. I mean, it's still not the same Derrick Rose that we've been accustomed to over here in New York. Obviously, we will never get the Chicago version of Derrick Rose, but I mean, he can still perform. He can still do, you know, the little things. And obviously he's still serviceable. That's why he still gets minutes. But, you know, the rest of the Knicks team, the kids that we've been, you know, that fans have been clamoring to, you know, to see, this is why we don't have the identity, because, you know, certain guys are getting opportunities and they're just not capitalizing on them. When you get a chance to play, to get in game, especially in a game that's very tight and very, you know, you have to kind of show up and really go balls on the wall. And, you know, Reddish is on that bubble. Obi Toppin's on that bubble. Emmanuel Quickley's on that bubble. They're those guys right now. I'm starting to wonder, like, what happened to your guys' motor? It's like when Kevin Knox left, did he leave it behind and y'all start borrowing that shit? I mean, because that's pretty much what's going on. And hell, Knox is freaking killing it now. I mean, have you been seeing that shit?
No, I haven't. So, with Detroit?
It's things like this that kind of bother me about this team, and that's why I throughout the night I was watching this game with an attitude, and hell, the game in Detroit, I was watching that with an attitude too, and we were winning that game, and I'm like, man, there's just something missing. That, like, there's no character on this team, and I think that either Live or Chris, one of them just said it. You know, guys are still getting used to playing with a guy like Jalen Brunson. And Brunson, you know, he's the only saving grace right now. He's the leading scorer on the team, next to Randle. Randle is becoming way too one-dimensional for me. And I'm not a Randle hater. I just wanted to point that out there. I'm just calling it as I see it. Randle, to me, has become so one-dimensional, it's starting to really bother me. And it makes me start to wonder, maybe we should consider, you know, maybe those trade talks that people have been throwing out there for so long, you know, now have some level of validity. But come on now. Randall's better than this. RJ is better than this. Freaking everybody on this team is at least better than this. Emmanuel Quickley is better than this. Obi Toppin, look, I'm an Obi fan. But Obi Toppin, to me, he hasn't earned, like, my respect, you know, for him to garnering the amount of minutes that he's been getting. You know, everybody was clamoring. It's like, oh, we want to see Obi and Randle together. Now you're seeing it, and you're seeing that it's not really doing very much. Because if both of those guys are occupying the same amount of space and they're both just not playing their natural position, you know, all of a sudden every one of them is a spot-up shooter. And you got Randle going 1-for-8 and Toppin going, you know, 1-for-6, then what's the point? How about you guys start playing your position? How about one of them actually be the power forward and get into the paint, become somewhat of a low post presence like Randle did when he won the Most Improved Player award a couple of years ago, and Then you have a Manobi Toppin, who the reason why we even got him in the first place, besides him being the best player on the draft at that point, but more importantly, he was a slasher. He's a dunker. He has a wicked first step. He can penetrate into the paint, and we're not seeing that. Oh, the only time you ever mention Obi Toppin is when he does some crazy highlight dunk on a fast break. Come on, man, you got to be more than that. I'm sorry, but I already saw Sean Kemp back in the 90s. I don't need to see it again.
Yeah. Oh, Ab, one more thing before we go to live. Oh, you had something
sure.
else? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Let's go. Can we go back to that Portland game? Because the Knicks inflate was out and ready with Jeremy Grant going for 40-plus. Like, that
absolutely.
Should not happen. I mean, that game was so ugly in the sense of, okay, I can understand Anthony going off, right? But Jeremy Grant, I mean, Jeremy Grant's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. But that game... Okay, I don't even want to say I thought we should have beat Memphis, honestly. But it was really a hero ball between Simons and Grant. They both almost went for both of them almost. I think Simons had almost 40, and Grant had 44. Like, what the hell is going on? I mean, that were literally the whole team that game. We should have beat them is basically what I'm trying to say. I can't even get the words out of my mouth. I think that loss pissed me off more than anything after that road trip.
What happened in those two games is that once the Knicks on defenders realized that they weren't going to be able to stop Grant and Simons at all, it's like once they hit 30, they all gave up. And, you know, basically it became an open market because Grant was starting to walk into three-pointers. And I'm like, when does Grant walk into three-pointers? I mean, I know he shoots them every now and then, but he just walks up to them. Just like, I mean, I know that today's NBA has been kind of like pushing for the fast break three-pointer. But this is like, come on, I cannot stress this enough. Put a fucking hand up. Just a hand. I don't care which one it is. Just throw something in their face. Make it at least somewhat of a challenge for your ball. Because then when they they spot it up and they take their time and they actually are able to to square up to the rim and actually make a shot, and if they still rim rock it, you can at least kick it out to a fast break and probably get some transition points. But they're not even doing that. They're getting beat on second chance points, and they're getting beat off the boards when you got 2, 3, 4 guys that are all of them 6'6" that can freaking that have enough wingspan to pretty collect the rebound. But no, they're all standing behind the 3-point line like a bunch of bozos. I don't understand it. Come on, offense and defense, the two simplest, the two bases of the game. You can't do one, you can't do the other. That's unacceptable to me. It's completely unacceptable, ridiculously unacceptable. And if I were Thibodeau, I'd be worried about my job right now. I'd be really worried about my job. Live and Coach Chris were just saying, it's like we haven't had an offensive coach in a while. And to your point, yeah, you're right. We haven't had it since Mike D'Antoni because he was the last one. But remember how fucking stupid it was basically, deflate the ball to a point. Oh, you got to shoot it within the first 10 seconds of the shot clock. And you don't have the personnel to freaking actually run that. The only person you had was David Lee and Chris Duhon. What the fucking do? Yes, I remember them days. And for crying out loud, if I were Tom Thibodeau, I'd be really pissed off right now. Because right now, the Knicks' performances are showing that he doesn't have the attention and the ear of the players that he once had when he first got here.
Right.
Because if Tom Thibodeau, who's always been preaching defense, 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 because he learned under Van Gundy, who learned under Riley, and so on and so forth, and they did all those things to create the identities in Chicago, in Minnesota, in New York, wherever the fuck it is. And all of a sudden, he comes to this team on the fourth season, and right now we're not even the best offensive or the best defensive. We give up more than we score, And then we and our pace just doesn't seem to, you know, have any level of consistency other than when it's slow, it's slow, and when it's fast, it's miserable and it's messy. Come on. Somebody has to take the bull by the horns and actually start fucking manhandling and start rattling some fucking cages, because right now this team looks bad. And not bad as in, oh, we're taking for a lottery pick. No, we're too good to be bad, and we're too bad to be good. Come on.
Right.
We have to pick a direction.
Right. Yeah, great points. Let's go to live. Get us. Oh, matter of fact, you want anything you want to ask live from the last week, the Memphis game or Portland game or anything, just tonight or just in general, Av?
Well, I really don't have anything other than are y'all feeling those jerseys that they're wearing now, like the ones they won today? I don't know how I feel about them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I love the black and orange, man. It takes me back to that. What was that? Was it 2003 or 98? I said it was one of them black and orange jerseys, man, where they was like aerodynamic with the design, man. It kind of take me back to that. It's not as fancy design as that was, but I'm gonna get the year for that, and I'll let y'all know what that was. These black uniforms I do like, though. You know what I'm saying? They're a little plain, but I do like them. I mean, look, man, y'all might not like me after this, man, but, you know, I miss the days of Alfred Payton and Bullock, right? And Nerlens Noel, like we were popping in the league. That's my guy, right? So even with him, you know, when we talk about, you know what I'm saying? Frankie Headlights was locking people down for the most part, right? He had a sense of defense within him that kind of is what we need now. We not as bad as Alfred Payton was. Alfred Payton wasn't letting nobody off of the perimeter come in. You know what I'm saying? From ones to four, they wasn't getting past him, and he was fouling them. And Bullock wasn't letting nobody in. And Nerlens Noel was the seventh best defensive center in the league, coming off the bench for a hurt Robinson. Where's that mentality? Where is that? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like Coach said, Coach made a great point. It's where's that? Where is that at? You understand what I'm saying? Thibodeau has lost, that might have been Knickerbocker Ab. Coach has lost a great portion of whatever mystique he had. You know what I'm saying? Because he was supposed to be this defensive coach. And, I mean, look, since day one, we've been getting killed. We've been getting murdered. We got murdered tonight on some really bad threes. I mean, they kind of was there, but then they kind of wasn't either. Like, that Grayson shot, shit, like, I mean, Jesus Christ. That was a dagger, but that's what been killing us all year is the three-point game. And it's like, Knickerbocker Ab said it plain, man. That dude, Randle, do not play no defense. And, I mean, it ain't like nothing about Carmelo, because Carmelo tried. It's just that he was a sloth. You know what I'm saying? He just couldn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just couldn't play no D. This dude, Randle, I have watched him look at people coming to paint and hope they miss. Like, dog, get up, put a hand up. Like, put a hand up. It's him. It's that kind of attitude. And I know you work with what you work with, man, but it's like the identity thing will hurt us in about five games, right? Because, you know what I'm saying, at this point where we looking at them just gelling, they kind of need to be already gelled. You know what I'm saying? They kind of need to already be in a little groove, in a little swing, and they not. And the main reason because of that is because Jalen Brunson is the only go-to guy. And to your point, Steve, he looked like he in a truck rally. You know what I'm saying? He looked like he getting mauled for his free cheese. You know what I'm saying? Like he's getting beat down. The other day, who was this big doofy dude just dropped full body on his shins? I thought them shits was broke.
Was it Steve Adams?
I thought they was broke. I thought he was finished. He went out the game. He came back. He was limping. And, you know what I'm saying? Da da da. And whatever.
That was Steve Adams.
Steven Adams.
It was Steve Adams.
Killed
him.
I think it was the other dude. It definitely wasn't Steven Adams. But Steven Adams came right back in and clotheslined him. You feel me? Like, he was getting beat down that game. He was getting beat down. And he's been getting beat down for at least the last 4 or 5 games. Because he's been taking it upon himself. You know, he's been shooting the game winners and missing the game winners. But, you know, again, man, it's this non-identity thing. You know what I'm saying? Or the inability to draw up a great play. It's why would you go in the what are you doing when you're in the timeout? You go here, and then you run in the same plays you've been running the whole game. You know what I'm saying? ISO up top. You know, whoever get it on that third pass is the one that's going to take the shot. It's, you know, when Randall is in the paint bagging down, he has no ability to pass unless he's up in the air shaking it like he mixing drinks. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know how we rectify that without a couple of trades, right? I don't know how we rectify that without addressing our need for X and O's coach. And I think y'all done heard me say this about Fizdale. Y'all done heard me say this about Hornacek. You understand what I'm saying? Them dudes don't call no plays, man. Right? I love Popovich, man, because you can see the play. When he come out of timeout, when he up and go, he's calling plays and the ball moves different. Every 2 or 3 plays, the ball moves different. That's not us. Ball moves the same every time. Every time. If you know what I'm saying? The only difference is it's either on one side or the other side of the court. It's the same. 3 passes and then ISO. I'm tired of that. You know, that's not entertaining. And then the people who are supposed to entertain you is on the bench. You know, your fast break king, he's on the bench, played 14 minutes today. He was just getting in the groove, and you know what I'm saying, when Tibbs took him out, right? Again, you know what I'm saying, to Knickerbocker Ave point, you know what I'm saying, Cam is now, I don't believe he regressed. I think he's the same dude. You know what I'm saying? But he's just not taking advantage of his opportunities. And maybe Grimes is still hurt, you know, but listen, man, I believe Fournier need to get a shot on that second unit. Mm-hmm. You know, at least if for nothing else, so you could trade his ass by the trade deadline.
Right.
And even in that respect, I think your spacing will be better for them dudes. Coach made a great point about Quickly, man. Quickly has fallen off the cliff. He's fallen off. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody pushed his ass. You know what I'm saying? He looks not to say like the same guy. And everybody keep on talking about this he put on muscle or whatever the case may be. I don't know. He ain't been looking good for a little while now, except if he playing college, dude, you know what I'm saying? If he in the summer league and he doing his thing, he going against NBA players, he's not looking good, man. So I don't know. Maybe that little trade thing was shaking him up. You know, I don't know, man. But listen, I love my people. I love the Knicks. You know, and I'm hoping that we can get a trade in before the deadline, a good one. that will galvanize us. So, yeah, let's go.
Listen, I was watching the game, and they had this, this live mic with Obi Toppin. I said, Obi Toppin, I was thinking about this, no cap, yo. I said, yo, they need to have Mr. Live with the mic all game long, like how Obi, they had it on Obi Toppin. What would you have been saying at certain parts of that game, yo? Like, if there was no filter,
truthfully, all of my critique would have been going to Thibodeau and his whack ass rotation. You understand what I'm saying?
It's
you are over. You are killing my man Brunson. Get that man some air, right? You got McBride on the side. You got Quickly. Right. You got Rose. Give that man some Gatorade, man. You know what I'm saying? Pepto Bismol, something. Give him a break. Right, we already know what we got. I am fine with that guy. You know what I'm saying? You know what now? Give him some rest. So when that fourth quarter comes, he's right and ready, and he's hitting them shots. Now he's not doing it because he's 35 in. He's 35, 40 minutes in. You know what I'm saying? How many minutes he played tonight? 34. You know what I'm saying? Come on, B. Come on. You know, I'm like, give that man a break. You know what I'm saying? And truthfully, give Randall a break, right? Let Obi Toppin do his thing. Whatever he's going to be and whatever he's going to do, he needs time to play, right? You're not gonna find out what he can do in 14 minutes of fucking game. It's just not happening. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. Okay. Here's a messed up stat. How many minutes Frankie Headlights averaged in his Knick career? 23 minutes a game. My man Mansoor Eclair, you know what I'm saying, averaged 23 minutes a game. He got the most NBA time anybody got. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense what this coach is doing. I don't know what. It's like he's trying to get fired. Like he want to get fired so he can collect unemployment instead of just saying I quit. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not servicing us, dog. He's like not like that. Again, Alfred Payton, Reggie Bullock, Nerlens Noel. We might have been 8th or 10th in the league in defense that year. We played. You know what I'm saying? So let's get that mentality back. Let's just get where Reggie Bullock got it. He on somebody's team? Let's call him.
He on Dallas still. Should be still on Dallas. I mean, that is, listen, I would, Elfrid Payton, I would keep Brunson, of course, but yeah, that Bullock, he's a underrated role player because he gave you both.
Very.
He came off screens and he'll knock down 6-7 threes some nights and he comes off the curl. I do think Fournier is serviceable on that second. Listen, like when Rose is in there, like Rose still can make the defense collapse on him. He's giving other guys a wide open looks. Those looks should be for Fournier, honestly, in those corners.
I agree. But see, Pep don't call them plays like that.
I'm going to ask Coach Chris this question, then we go back to Av. Coach Chris, I think there is a little bit of something offensively that we're missing. Like when Mike Woodson was on that bench as an assistant coach and he's now with Indiana, and then look at Victor Payne, remember the Kentucky coach that left? You know, like a lot of these guys, like we talk about the Quickly regression, like a lot of these guys were helping these young guys offensively like that rookie year. What are your thoughts as far as because Thibodeau's not an offensive guy, he's a defensive guy. So those offensive minds that were on that bench are no longer there, and you can tell by like they're trying to smash this offensive deficiency with this fucking pace crap. It's just not going to work. You got to call offensive plays. Coach, what are your thoughts on that? With that, and anything else you'd like to add before we go back to Av and get final thoughts after that?
Well, that has to come from management, then, right? So if we here as the fans, we're looking at this and we're saying, well, damn, we suck on offense. Well, how come nobody at the top is saying that? How come all these people that put this team together can't look at this and say, hey, it's just not working? Maybe they do need to hire offensive-minded coach and somebody that's going to bring new life and ball movement, because the game has changed, man. And I'll tell you firsthand, like, this is not the game when we were playing growing up. This Euro style took over. The ball movement is way more necessary than it ever was before. Excuse me. And I think Tibbs he's stuck in his way of what he's already known. And we all know, because even at our jobs, all of our professions, we got to constantly evolve in order to stay with these younger dudes that's coming in trying to take our jobs, right? So he needs to figure out a way or have somebody, bring somebody in that's going to assist in that area. He's never been an offensive guy. Nowhere he's gone was it a situation where his teams were scoring out of their mind. Now, when you look at some of these old teams, though, that we had previously, our best teams were offensive-minded guys, even down to the eighth or ninth guy, even though they were older players, they were offensive-minded guys. And when you can score a bucket, we all know this, when the ball goes through the hoop, you're a little bit more excited about playing defense, right? When you see that ball go through the net, you're like, you're hyped up, and you're saying to yourself, all right, let's get a stop. When the ball's not going through the net, it's the opposite. When you can't see that ball, you start getting down on yourself. You start getting upset. Now when you see the other team score, it's a mind game. So who knows what's going on in practice, what's going on in the huddle. But I also think a lot of these guys need to be assigned definitive roles. Like, mm-hmm. Right now, I'm watching the Clippers and the Jazz play. Like, nobody would have predicted the Jazz being anywhere near what they've been playing. But you got dudes on this team, they know their role, right? Jordan Clarkson was sixth man of the year 2 years ago, come in, now he's a starter. He's probably their best offensive player, besides Markkanen. I mean, everybody on this team is assigned a role. You got John Wall on the Clippers, coming off the bench. He understands his assignment. These dudes on the Knicks, a lot of them are just the young dudes trying to figure out the game. They need to be told, this is what I'm looking for from you. This is what I need you to do tonight. Every night the game is going to change. Your mindset is going to change. Your game plan is going to change. And it just seems like a lot of these dudes are coming out here and playing the same game every night. You can't do that. I understand we put up 140 versus the Pistons. Even I was blown away, but I looked at that score. I said, no way in hell did we just pull this shit off, right? But we're not going to do that against Memphis because we tried to do the same shit. We're not going to do it against a defensive team like Milwaukee. I mean, it's just not going to happen every night. You get those young run-and-gun teams that like to run up and down the court. You can outscore them. You can slow them down. You can outsmart them. These experienced teams, 2 years ago, Milwaukee just won the championship. We're not going to wear them down doing what we did against the Pistons. These dudes got to figure it out. And I just want to say real quick, whoever this fine-ass referee is, the tan-skinned girl with, like, the blondish hair and greenish eyes, she is reffing this Clippers and Jazz game. Son, go look her up right now. My fault. Wow.
All right, got to look that up.
Damn.
Let me look it up. I have no idea who you're talking about. Let me look that up real quick.
Whoa.
Yo, we all need to get on Google right now.
All right. I'm at the Google NBA right
now. I'm looking at who's repping this game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to that game right now.
Yeah. Good point. Let me go to the game. Av, can you have any additional thoughts while we look up this ref in the Jazz? Jazz Clipper game? All right, let me look that up, man.
Jazz Clipper game.
Okay.
Well, I think it goes without saying this. The performance tonight and the performances that we've been seeing from the New York Knicks over the last couple of weeks, you know, this Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing is, you know, it's tiring.
it's you know, it's now over the hill. It's becoming cliche. It's becoming almost, you know, expected. And I feel like, you know what, I hate to say this, but I think it's about time we do remove Tom Thibodeau. I don't think that, you know, he has the ear of the players right now, because that one thing that Coach Chris just said, you know, this is what I need you to do tonight. This is what I need you to focus on tonight. This is your assignment tonight. That very thing, that goes back, you know, that resonated with me, because, of course, you know, we've all played ball in some way, shape, or form. And we all know that when we get on the court, there's going to be that one dude that you're going to be going up against, and you know that you and this dude don't probably have like this, you know, this mini rivalry during that game, and you're doing everything you can to slow this dude down, no matter how nice he is and how quick he is, or you know how great of a release he has. Doesn't matter. You're going tit for tat with him. But then you come to realize that he's better than you, but you can still slow him down. That should not stop you from, you know, from your effort and from your heart. And with this Knick team, you're just plain out seeing it. You're not seeing the heart. And that's hard to say because, you know, for me, because Knick fans are all about heart. They're all about that emotion and that dedication and that investment. And right now, the team doesn't look like they have any heart. They're just going through the motions on both sides of the floor. Because just what Coach Chris just said, where, you know, the same game that we played against Detroit, I started to think about it, is the same game that we played in Oklahoma City. It's the same game that we tried to play in Denver. You know, fortunately, in those instances, we won those games. But you're not going to be able to do that with the same, you know, with a different opponent every single night. You can't just do a cookie cutter templated offensive and defensive scheme. It just doesn't work that way. You're gonna run into players, you know, who have a specific talent and skill sets that just will not be able to, to resonate and combine with that. You know, you're just not going to be able to combine, you know, to combat that. So if you are the head coach of the New York Knicks, known specifically for your defensive talents and schemes, and we're getting beat off the, you know, just simply off the dribble on high screens, or just getting killed on transitions, that's something. I mean, what is Thibodeau not telling them, or what is he telling them? When we go into the timeout, and you realize that you're down six, and you realize that Giannis has already got like 30-something points, but then you realize also he's in foul trouble, how do you not attack him? How do you not, you know, make him defend you with his hands instead of with his body? How do you not then, you know, give a look-see, you know, a look-see double to, you know, to Holiday, knowing full well that he's got the other hot hand when Giannis is out? And for Christ's sake, how do you not freaking defend the three-point line, knowing full well that's been your Achilles heel all season long? We're 22 games in, and we still haven't been able to freaking figure out how to slow down the three-point line. The games we've won is because, obviously, you know, the opposition is just not dropping the threes like, you know, like they probably normally do. And then our shots are dropping. But when our shots are not dropping, what is, you know, how do you adjust? How do you create? How do you put your guys in position? What are you telling them? What is Thibodeau not telling them, or what is he telling them? Hey, your shot's not dropping. I need you to move in, at least 10 feet. Hey, I'm noticing that he's giving you his right. Exploit that right and post him up or something. Or take him off the dribble. Excuse me. Anything, any single thing. Because basketball is also about a game of inches. It's not just a mind game. It's a game of inches. And if your opposition is giving you something, you should take full advantage of it and exploit it till they finally wise up and make an adjustment on you. But the Knicks haven't been able to make that adjustment at all. And it's showing. Tonight was a perfect example.
The game against Oklahoma City when they came to the Garden, perfect example. I mean, you know, when we lost to Golden State, that's obvious. When we lost to Phoenix, that's obvious. But when you see – but even the game against Memphis, the game against Portland, those are games that we could have had, and had they not – had they made some slight adjustment. If one player, you know, can fight through a high screen at least once, we could win that game. We could win that game. But that's not happening. So what is Thibodeau saying in these freaking – in these huddles? What is, when he calls timeout and the guys sit down, they start drinking water, and he starts drawing up plays. What in the blue hell is he writing, and what is he saying? Maybe it's about time.
Yeah, let's address it, man. Oh, let's get to final thoughts. Let's do 1 minute, man. We got to wrap it up. Okay, Coach Chris. I see you, homie. All right. Yeah, the ref in that Jazz game. Okay. Yeah. I don't know her name. You know what, y'all know her name? Or?
Sheree Mitchell.
I don't know the name. She used to hoop or something? Or?
She played at USC.
She looked like she used to box. She got said she is more fit than she. Okay. She diesel. But she not. She bad, though. She bad, though.
All right.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay.
University of Southside.
Okay.
The University of Cal Santa Barbara. All right, cool, cool. Lyle, give us a minute. Let's wrap it up, and then Coach Chris, and then have 1 minute. 1 minute each, baby.
Right. So again, man, the reason why I'm not mad about tonight, man, or even the last 4 or 5 games is, man, because we look like we're getting into a rhythm. Maybe not so much identity, but we look like we are. The season is upon us. We realizing. Maybe some of our individual situations and we're doing our thing. I don't think that we have enough offensive savvy to weather at this point, a play-in, man. You know what I'm saying? Unless we have another person who can get their own shot, at least coming off the bench. We don't have that person. Everybody is relying on the ball movement, and there is none. So, you know, let's get that. You know, let's look who's on the horizon for this coaching thing, and let's go Knicks, man.
Let's go Knicks. Shout out to Mr. Live, man. Thank you very much. Let's go to the Coach
yes,
Chris. Give us a final thoughts. 1 minute, and then I have 1 minute, and then I'm out in 1 minute.
Random thought: am I the only one that wants to see a dunk contest between Sims and Toppin? Because I would pay for that.
Yeah,
anyway,
me too.
Yeah, but this is, like I said before, I think they need to take a little bit more time in the game planning of the each game. You're not going to play every single game with the same style. You just can't do it, man. The same thing in boxing, same thing in UFC, any sport, you got to adjust. And I think they need to take a little bit more time to do that, because I mean, these young guys, they don't know. You got to explain to them. You got to teach them. And I think they're just not taking the time to develop these guys the way they should. So I'm hoping these younger guys will kind of wake up and realize, you know, we're in contract years. We need to get an extension because we like playing in New York. Definitely there's some things that need to be changed. For these years, we've been crying, we need a point guard. Now we got a point guard, and we're still not getting any better. So we definitely got to work on some things.
It's great to have you back, Coach Chris. Thank you very much on your final thoughts, man. And thanks for the heads up on it and what's going on in that Clipper Jazz game, too. Got to get some positive thoughts.
Yeah.
you
that made my night.
Knickerbocker Ave, our source for the streets, our final thoughts and congratulations on the Orange and Blues documentary, man.
Shout out
all the posts, man. Yeah, definitely, man. Great things you guys did with the fans, man. And your final thoughts, sir. And then we'll wrap up. Quick minute.
Well, final thought, it won't be long. Number one, free Evan Fournier. Number two, mm-hmm. Aaron Judge, what are you waiting for? 8 years, 300-something million? Come on, dog. you're making me nervous. But anyways, the Knicks, I'm going to stand with it. I think it's about time that we start looking at other coaching opportunities come at least until the end of the season. I'll get Thibodeau to the end of the season, but still, okay. Something's up, and, you know, I need more.
I agree, man. Shout out to I don't know if I'm there with Tibbs yet, but yeah, you guys are right on point as far as the offensive deficiency, because it's anemic as far as how their flow with the offense, man. It's so helter-skelter, but defensively is where they lost their mojo, which 2 years ago, that's where they had their identity. I don't know if they had the personnel to get back to where they were, and I thought there were great points with Noel from two seasons ago and Peyton and Bullock. You're missing that. You're missing that defensive closeout defense, not necessarily with Brunson, but that drop-off from, let's say, Fournier to Bullock. And now you're not even getting minutes to the Fournier. I think you should throw him in the second unit, get with Derrick Rose. I think you got to bump up his minutes, because I do still trust Derrick Rose to make the right basketball play with getting in the paint, collapsing, and finding an open man. And guys like Evan Fournier will live all day in that corner and make those threes. And one more thing, my last final thought. I thought Mitchell Robinson had a strong night tonight on the rebounds, with the rebounds tonight. He's a guy, you know, he kind of has that lack of a motor, but I thought he did as best of a job he can do interiorly with Lopez and Antetokounmpo. So good game by Mitch, but, you know, the Knicks fall short. Let's see what they do in the next couple of games. It's frustrating to watch because they should have beat Portland, honestly. Memphis, it's either way, but, hey, they were in there versus Milwaukee. I'm with you, Ab. They should have won. But at least I can say I'd rather see them play towards what they did tonight versus even in the win versus Detroit, because Detroit's not going nowhere. Coach Chris, Mr. Lyon, Knickerbocker Ave, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Knickerbocker Avenue on Facebook and Twitter and IG. We'll be back next Wednesday to do it all over again, to talk more hoops. Sangre Azul, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.